Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my goodness. We got some fan mail. Should we just start with that, maybe?
I was going to talk about another shot.
Well, this week's another shot will be Tara.
And we can't talk about our catnip toys.
Let's start over.
No, why?
You want to keep it? Okay, fine. Yeah. I just felt...
You like everything to be perfect, and I don't think we should
have
that.
Well, no, I just
podcasts are raw, dude. We're raw.
It's just one of those things like I should have mentioned before we started the show, but it's fine.
We're raw dogging.
Oh, okay.
You know what that means,
I
hon.
Do,
do you,
yes.
Sweetie? Why don't you tell the listeners?
No, that's fine.
You're
I
good?
Think let's get to the fan mail.
Let's get the fan mail.
No, are we going to save it? Should
no,
we save
we'll do
it?
No, we'll do it now.
Do it now?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got our first holiday card, which for those of you who want to send us cards, which I know I like to send to people that I listen to from time to time.
It's got a snowman sticker.
Yeah.
And it's a red thing. And it says Martinis and Murder Podcast Crew. So it's for everyone here.
It is. And it included a gift card for Taco Bell. So sweet.
But let me just say, it's a holiday gift
it
card
is a
from
holiday
Taco
gift
Bell. Because I actually had to read the fine print. I mean, I figured, but I also thought, you know, you talk about Starbucks like forever.
This could be a sex shop.
It could be a GameStop for you and a sex shop for me, and you never know.
Mm-hmm.
GameStop sex shop.
Yeah, it's like a a purple gift card, and it's a snow globe, and inside the snow globe is a Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's right.
It's cute. I wanted to read the card quickly,
sure.
If you don't mind. This is from Danielle, who came to our
Danielle. Thank you so much for
Boston
sending
show.
This.
So nice.
Yes.
Oh, and we'll get to what she gave you, by the way.
Yes.
Happy holidays to the Martinis and Murder Crew. Thank you all for every week bringing so much laughter to my life. Your podcast is truly the highlight of my week. I was able to see your show in Boston on Halloween, and that was so much fun. It was a great night, and I was able to see just how much Matt sucks in person. Ha ha ha.
But literally.
I did the meet and greet too, and Darren and John, you were both so sweet. Darren, you are absolutely beautiful. And John, like I told you that night, you have a great ass. We'll just bleep that out. I wish all of you, including Matt, a wonderful holiday season and a great 2020. I look forward to another year of your podcast. Danielle Duty. P.S. Darren, I included some catnip toys for your cat to enjoy.
Not only that, but they're like pirates.
They're
and they're
cool.
Like right up my alley, and he's going to love them, and he loves the shape. So thank you so much. I literally just texted my girlfriend being like, oh my
look
God.
Yeah,
look what we got. So that's good. And when you said you're going to bleep it out, do you mean Megan to bleep out everything in the letter butt that you have a good butt? Because I feel like that's why you wanted to read it.
No, I wanted to read it because I love reading people. You think I'm out here like trying to tell people what
Let's
other-
take a yeah. poll. Who think? No.
Oh my God. PPS, she writes, next time you come to Boston, I would love to take you guys out for a drink as well as show you the area. If you want, Salem is wonderful.
Yes.
And Fall River has the Lizzie Borden house. Cheers, bitches.
You saying PP is funny. That's number one.
PPS.
That's number one. PP. PPS.
You're the worst.
I am
but
a little
the
bit.
Best at the same time.
And I'm beautiful. So thank you so
well.
Much. You are so sweet, Danielle. I really appreciate it. And that was like very, very nice. Salem, actually, because I went to camp in Boston when I was a kid for like 7 years, one of the things was always to go to visit Salem or go to the witch trial
stuff.
And it was, I remember going to the museum. I want to say it was the museum, but I don't know if it was
if
an exhibit
was
or whatever,
yeah.
but I think it was a house. And you could see the jails that they were in. And one of these jails, like it's, I think it's a testament to me having claustrophobia because I can flash back to the memory of me seeing this jail. It's got to be a 2-foot by 2-foot cell.
Oh, no.
Like all you can do is maybe stand up. Maybe
oh
just
God.
Sit down. Like, and they were just housed in these
for
horrible
the
cells. Yeah, for the witches. You know, back in the 1700s. Yeah. It was terrifying to me as a kid. And maybe I things, should go back now as an adult, though.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember when we landed in Boston and we were taking the Uber back to our hotel. We were all like, "Oh, I've never really been in Boston." And you're like, "Really? I went to summer camp here for many years." And I was like, "Oh, I didn't even realize."
It's very nerdy summer camp, but camp nonetheless.
That's very cool. Well, if we're ever back in Boston, which I'm sure we will one day, Danielle, thank you so much for the kind holiday words. If you want to send us a card or whatever, the address is in our show notes.
Today's case is actually a cool one, and I like this one a lot, and I've covered it me personally. Actually, I first learned about it on our true crime calendars that we have. Remember, a fan got them for us at the beginning of the year. I can't believe it's already fucking
can
December.
Can you believe it's over? Yeah.
I can't believe it because I go sober in January, and I remember always like every day in January was like, another fucking day.
Yeah.
And now like,
except for the podcast, right? Like I drink on the podcast.
Yeah. But January is always like, but Belle Gunness, who is our case today, I'm not going to say, like, I think a lot of people would be like, oh yeah, badass woman. Like, like taking force. Like we've discussed this before, but it's actually quite an interesting, quite a scary, very fascinating story. But what's interesting about it is it's about a woman this time. So I kind of like mixing it up. It's not just Eileen Wuornos.
Totally, you know? That's right. Yeah.
I can be a murderer too, Johnny.
You aspire to these things.
Pee-pee.
That's nice.
I don't have a pee-pee.
We should... Oh, we're going back to that.
Just say pee-pee one
pee-pee.
More. Thank you.
Matt is usually with us making the drink of the week at this point. He's nowhere to be found. I know that he's grabbing somebody who will be... Oh, no. It'll be the Tara Newell episode, which came out on Thursday. So you guys can know
he's grabbing Tara, since we're doing our regular episode.
First.
Yes.
Exactly.
By the way,
tip and trick, we do the full episode first, guys.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's a scheduling thing, but we try to do the full episode first. But when you said it was tree lighting today and you were like, oh, do you want to move it? Because it's kind of complicated. I was like, no, I can't. Like, is it okay? And you were like, it should be fine. I've worked at NBC for 10 years.
Right.
Like, obviously, I've been to the tree lighting. I know it. And, like, I didn't even put two and two together because when I came off the subway today, it was like, I need to show 90 forms of identification, bank statements, paychecks.
Blood
I was like,
types.
Holding up my badge and Wayne's World being like, All access. Yeah, it's like, I work here. And I was just like, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, I remember. Did you come in off of the BDFM?
Yeah,
downstairs?
So I'm feeling a little flustered. I'll have to take
You're
some
good.
Time.
I love the way you've centered yourself.
Oh, sweetie, yeah, I love the hands.
Yeah, the way I was like...
You're centered.
Yeah, you can't... I like snapped my neck a little bit there for you guys. Yeah, it's the tree lighting. It's fine.
It's fine.
When you've seen it once, you've seen it enough. That's how I look at it.
I mean, like, to be fair, it's just... the little flicking of a switch.
Here's the thing.
Like, that's what it is.
My thing about, and we're going to get into the case in a minute, but my thing about it is that a lot of our coworkers will stick around and want to go see it. In fact, Megan, you're going to be sticking around to watch it tonight. My thing is, I can't stay that late. They don't even turn the light on until like
eight.
9 or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like super late last year. So,
I mean,
you know.
It's just, I've seen it. My friend lived in this like beautiful, like glass walled apartment right outside of 30 Rock. We were pages together. So we'd always party there. Like when we'd go out for these like SNL afters and she was like, come over and watch tree lighting. So I got front row seat, you know, like at my friend's
Amazing.
Apartment. And it was like, we partied, and like 8, 9, whatever hit. And it was like, click. Okay. It was like, all right, see you guys later.
Yeah,
that was really fun.
Yeah,
it was like, oh.
So Megan, not to put a damper on your excitement tonight.
It's
is
a good
cool to
kickoff of the holiday season.
You know what else too? It's a really great way to make your family be like, oh my God, he's doing so great in New York
City.
Well,
that's true.
Like they just love that I'm like there. But anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't help when you're like from here.
Right. No,
yeah,
right. For you,
like,
it's different.
Yeah.
My grandparents in particular, like, did you see that Johnny saw the tree lighting from inside 30 Rock? And I'm like, I was annoyed that I stayed that late. But okay,
yeah
it was
right.
Nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway,
yes.
We're going to wait for Matt to bring in the drink and hopefully we'll have something because I'm actually kind of parched. I see you have a little bottle of water.
Yeah, my throat was scratchy.
Well, why don't...
Pee-pee.
You rest your voice and I'll start our kick off our show.
Okay.
So, Bella...
okay.
Oh my God, do we do an ASMR episode?
I was thinking that, but that's like way too much.
Yeah,
I just like the sensual voices like this.
Maybe we do a whole episode.
Say pee-pee in ASMR.
Pee-pee.
Thank you.
PPS. PPS.
PPS.
Wait, this just got really weird. Okay.
Did you? Did it move a little?
No, Darren.
Darren,
don't do that. Ew, gross.
Girls.
Girls are gross.
Oh my God.
What is this?
That was so hetero. We're like crazier when we're not drinking.
I know. That's true.
Even
by the
Megan's
way,
Megan's like, what the fuck is going on?
We will get into the episode. I know I keep saying that, but our How to Oxygen commercial came out.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, check out our Instas, our Twitters, our Facebooks.
Is that premiere on Oxygen TV?
I believe it is.
Okay.
I think.
That counts.
Well, and either way, it's a cute commercial. And
I agree. I just didn't know.
You guys should check it out because you could win tickets to CrimeCon
2020,
which are coveted things and
expensive.
We're going to be there. Yeah, they are expensive. So go check out our commercial and learn how you can win tickets.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First, he ruined Twitter. Now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Okay, let's get into the case.
Let's do it.
So Bella Gunness, who you had mentioned before, somebody you're interested in, mm-hmm. was born on November 11th, 1859.
This is an old case.
In Norway, yes. Absolutely. She immigrated to Chicago when she was 21 and married a fellow Norwegian named Mads Sorensen at 24. I love Norwegian, like, Scandinavian names. They're always kind of like...
Sven
and Mads. And all these, like, just very, like, kind of things, like, you never really hear anywhere else in the world. I love that.
Yeah. Mads.
Mads. Are we making a moment right here with this?
They were just like, I love it. Sven. Mads.
Sven. Mads. Yeah. The couple opened a confectionery store, but it failed and, under strange-sounding circumstances, burned down just a year later, according to strangeremains.com.
I want to own the rights to strangeremains.com.
Interesting research by Matt and the team this
yes.
week. They took the insurance money and bought a new home where they lived with their two daughters, Myrtle and Lucy, not quite the same as Mads, but similar.
Yes.
And a foster child named Jenny Olson.
Okay.
Mads died in 1900. Strange Remains reported, quote, Mads, I keep wanting to say Matt's there.
Yeah.
There's a sense of like Matt's.
I don't know why
it.
He's not here. Let's not even mention him.
That's true, right? Quote, Mads died on July 30th, 1900, coincidentally on the only day his two life insurance policies overlapped. The first doctor to examine Mads' body believed he suffered from strychnine poisoning. I hope I'm saying that right. Strychnine poisoning. Thank you, Megan. But for Sorensen's family doctor, who had been treating him for an enlarged heart, overruled the first doctor and determined that Mads died of heart failure. Shortly after Mads' death, Belle moved to LaPorte, Indiana, where she purchased the 42-acre farm at the end of McClung Road, end quote.
Gotta love McClung Road. I mean, I think it's important here to note, and listen, coincidences happen, and I believe in
for
coincidences,
sure, yes.
But two life insurance policies out on this guy, and the day that they overlap.
Yeah, exactly.
He dies.
That's the strange part of all of this. And listen, how long have we been talking about those life insurance policies?
Well, I know, exactly.
Can you actually find out if there are life insurance policies on you?
I think so.
There's a way to find that out?
I would assume so.
I'm just curious because I know obviously anyone can take a life insurance policy out on anyone, right? But do they ever get notified? Or I don't know. I'm curious, especially in the 1900s. Who really knows how that worked? It's not like you can jump online. Anyway, Belle met a local butcher named Peter Gunness, and they soon married in 1902, but the relationship was filled with tragedy. A week after the marriage, Peter's infant daughter died when in Belle's care. Then, less than a year later, a sausage grinder and a jar of hot water apparently fell on Peter. That's very weirdly Final Destination to me.
I mean... a sausage grinder? Nothing you have to worry about in my lesbian relationship.
Well, definitely not. Or in modern days, for that matter.
Yeah, although you love a cup of hot water.
Oh my God, it's my favorite
drink. You're a fucking grandmother.
Oh my God, love hot water. I just go home and
I boil it. I put it in a cup.
I drink it out of the pan.
I put it from the tap.
Megan's laughing really
It's like
hard
Forrest Gump, you know, when he names all the ways you can have shrimp? He's like, shrimp scampi, shrimp on the barbie. You're like... boil it, put it in a cup.
Maybe not even put it in a cup.
Put ice on it. It's like, what?
Put some ice in the water after it's been boiled.
You know, I just love to go home and boil water.
Yeah, me too.
I think all the fans are now understanding what your social life like is.
Listen,
like,
in New York City, you kind of do have to boil the water. Let's put it that way. Let's talk about microscopic shrimp in the water later.
We can talk about it, but New York City is the cleanest tap water in the United States.
I would agree with that.
No, it's 100% true.
But I still think there's shrimp in the water. We'll talk about it after the show. Just Google microscopic shrimp.
Microscopic? Okay. Well, I'm sure there are microscopic shrimps in our water. But I'm telling you, it's the best tap water out there.
Why does this keep happening?
You're drunk.
I'm not even through my first segment.
You boiled the hot water.
I'm not even drunk. I've had hot water
all
day.
You're drinking fermented hot water.
With my microscopic shrimp. Anyway, yes. Google it. You'll know what I'm talking about. Strange Remains, which is my favorite website,
yes,
aside from Oxygen.
It's our band name, Strange Remains.
That's a good...
Isn't it a good one?
Look, see? Megan's
you swallow
it.
These invisible shrimp with every gulp of New York City tap water. New York's water is delicious and filled with tiny crustaceans called copepods, making it possibly not kosher, which we have the highest Jewish population, more than Tel Aviv, so this is going to be upset to some of those Jews.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
H&E, stay in the water and put it under a microscope and you'll find these little guys.
Or a microscope, if you're me. I'm just saying.
A microscope.
It's a thing. But isn't it weird that even with that, New York City still has the cleanest water? Like, what are y'all drinking at?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily worried about little scrimps.
I guess I'm not either.
Yeah.
I've lived here for 7 years. It's fine.
We're fine. We haven't gone a third leg yet, so we should be okay.
Strange Remains wrote that the coroner believed Peter was murdered and showed signs of strychnine poisoning. However, with no evidence and Belle genuinely appearing to be a heartbroken widow, nothing criminal was investigated and Belle collected on her second husband's life insurance policy.
I mean, keep in mind, this is in the 1800s, the late 1800s. So, I mean, the standard of it was probably like, how could a woman possibly do this? We've talked about this before. And so if she's sad, widowed, crying, the cops might be like...
Yeah.
You know, they're not really going to look at the woman back in the
day. Listen, they didn't have oxygen to watch and figure out all the different ways people react to this
stuff. They were drinking
scrimps
water.
Exactly.
Scrimps.
Over there in Norway.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that.
Why did you do a southern accent?
I also want to mention that when you were just doing the Forrest Gump thing, I was like going along with you like I've seen it. I've never even seen that movie. I just want to confess that.
What?
It turned out at the time Belle was pregnant.
Can I do this podcast? What are you saying to me?
And the following year she gave birth to her first son, Philip. I don't know. I just felt like I was holding that in and I felt the need to mention that, like, even though I played along with you doing that, like, I haven't seen that movie.
Okay, one, you're a liar. I can never trust anything you say. Two, you have no class. How have you not seen Forrest Gump?
I mean, I remember it like...
That's like an American... That's like every American sees that movie.
Well, I remember seeing it as a VHS, like, in my grandmother's house when
I
was younger.
That doesn't count as seeing the movie.
And I may have watched it, but I have not retained it. By any means. I know the whole life is like...
It's like the greatest movie that's ever been made.
Life is like a box
of chocolates. Stop talking. Belle was a resilient one, and she managed to bounce back after the death of her second husband and began to place matrimonial ads in sections of Scandinavian newspapers in the Midwest, according to American History Magazine. Because, like, no one has any idea who the fuck you are anymore.
Microscopes and life was What did I just say?
Exactly.
Life was life.
American History described her dating situation, quote, in the letter she wrote to men who answered her ads, yeah, Gunness described herself as stout and womanly, but others less generously called her manly or even of uncertain gender. Oh. She was a hog butchering farming woman who, according to local lore, could lift 100-pound hogs in each arm. She was actively seeking a fellow Norwegian of means willing to share in the farm and put down some cash. Her mailman claimed she wrote 8 to 10 letters a day and received as many, getting cranky on the rare days when none came, end quote. One ad, according to Atlas Obscura, read, wanted, a woman who owns a beautifully located and valuable farm in first-class condition wants a good and reliable man as partner in the same. Some little cash is required for which will be furnished first-class security, end quote.
Okay, I'm sorry we're going off on so many tangents, yeah, but this description reminded me, did you ever see the Donald Trump lookalike who is a female potato farmer in Spain? It's a real thing.
Can you look it up and then show me on your
computer?
I'm
showing it to you in a minute. Okay. Megan, if you could just link this in our show notes for anyone who's interested. When was this? I have it right
here. I mean,
here.
I will say, if you Google images of Belle, I mean, considering this is a different time, so it's not like her wardrobe is like whatever, but she is, she's a handsome woman. I mean, that's how I would kind of describe it. I would sort of describe Bea Arthur that way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put
it. A handsome woman.
You may describe this person as this as well. This is the potato farmer from Spain who looks like Donald Trump.
Okay, stand by.
Okay, stand by. Get a good look. She's looking really hard at the face, which looks exactly like him.
It looks extremely similar. And because her hair is pushed back, it does kind of look like.
Yeah.
Do you want to see it, Megan?
Look up like Trump potato farmer and let us know what you think. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
We're going to link it in our show notes. We're going to link it in our show notes.
My laptop is being passed around the studio, but it's fine.
But it's not like...
It's hilarious. No, yeah, I know. That's
it's not your
I'm
dignity.
Saying.
No, like, You'll be fine. You'll get it back. You'll be okay.
I'm just saying, I love that a whole laptop was being like pushed around. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that in there.
Steve Kornacki here. I'm hosting an NBC News podcast called Article 2, Inside Impeachment, bringing you the latest developments on the impeachment inquiry. New episodes drop every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready, Scrimp?
I think I'm ready with my microscope.
Another ad, according to Indie Star, read, quote, personal. Comely widow who runs a large farm in one of the finest districts in LaPorte County, Indiana, desires to make the districts in LaPorte County, Indiana, desires to make the acquaintance of gentlemen equally well provided with view of joining fortunes. No replies by letter considered unless sender is willing to follow answer with personal visit. Triflers need not reply.
End quote.
That was emphasis mine.
Emphasis is absolutely
I always
yours.
Add my own emphasis.
Well, I'm worried.
But
that
it does say triflers.
But it did not say dickstricks. And yeah, I want to say.
No, I added that in.
You did add that part in. We haven't even had a sip of anything. And I'm
Nothing.
Worried that if we start drinking, it's just going to go way off the
rails. I'm happy being sober.
That's part of the show, right?
It is interesting. I mean, listen. I think it's interesting that she keeps mentioning wanting equal fortune, but because she's mentioning it so many times, and I don't necessarily blame her. Women had different rights back then.
It's true. It's
sort of required of to be with a man back then to survive in a way that it isn't now. Thank God we've progressed past this. But so I sort of understand that. But I think because she's making that so well known, my flares are going.
Absolutely.
You know, my nerd flares.
I mean, think of it this way. Like, women couldn't even vote at this time.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Well, she told a Wisconsin man that she had received as many as 50 responses to that ad. In one reply, she wrote, quote, now, if you think that you were able in some way to put up $1,000 cash, we can talk matters over personally.
No, $1,000. Oh, sorry. Yeah, a lot of money, right?
A lot of money. So she was clearly making some dough here. That's obvious. Mm-hmm. When asked how the letters could have been so effective, the brother of one of Bell's suitors named Andrew Helgelian, I think it's how you pronounce it,
Helgelian, right.
Yep. According to American History, said, quote, he lived too much in imagination for a farmer in Dakota. He could not forget the fjords and mountains of his nativity. Anything that brought a touch of home with it moved him to melancholy. Mm. When the Gunness woman began to write him letters, he was fascinated. She was a clever woman. She wrote of the things he loved. She discussed Norwegian places and Norwegian ways, and she told him she loved him, and he believed it, end quote. So it's almost like she's like the respite for him from his dour like life.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And I love my hometown too. So if anyone's listening from my hometown and wants to send me love letters, I would love that.
Whispers. It's crickets completely.
Right.
Like, he gets nothing.
Yeah.
Many people in the town recall various men visiting Belle at her farm, but the relationships didn't seem to go anywhere and would suddenly end.
Sounds like my life.
Exactly. American History Magazine wrote, quote, in 1904, Gunness told an inquiring neighbor that one of her gentleman friends had, in the middle of plowing season, headed off to visit the St. Louis World's Fair.
What is wrong with us?
I don't know. Curiously, these men tended to leave their possessions behind, lots of trunks and watches and clothes, and never return.
Remember when people would travel with trunks in the day?
Well, yeah, I know. Regardless, she carried on in her pursuits of a man. Her mailman reported that she wrote 8 to 10 letters per day, so she kept going.
Listen, there was not Snapchat. You couldn't just simply, send a cute little selfie to your men back in the day.
To your mans.
Yeah. But on April 28th, I have like the giggles and like this isn't a funny story. So
well,
I'm
you
trying
liked,
to like
you,
stop.
I know, and you liked plowing season. I added that in, but you liked
if
it.
If you didn't say, ow, well, I would have just not even thought of it.
We haven't had creme de cacao in a while, true. So that was my ow. Mm-hmm.
But on April 28th, 1908, a fire broke out at the farmhouse.
This is a constant theme.
I know, yeah.
Things are burning down.
The Chicago Tribune wrote that, quote, witnesses at the time said the burned farmhouse reeked of kerosene, end quote.
Well, that seems like arson to me.
And I wouldn't really know that, like, I don't know the difference between the smell of kerosene or gasoline. Do you?
I mean,
back
I'm
in the day,
pretty sure it's fairly similar.
Farmers would,
but even if it was gasoline or kerosene, I mean,
yeah,
it ain't looking good.
Well, that's true, regardless of what it is, right? And it was also reported that Belle had kept her daughters Myrtle, who was 11, Lucy, who was 9, and son Philip, 5, home from school the day before the fire and had gone into town to write her will. Okay, so like, listen. That's a lot of specifics that aren't really adding up to you're innocent. Let's just put it that way.
Well,
because guess what else? She also bought kerosene.
That doesn't look good.
That does not look good.
Yeah.
In the ruins the next day, authorities digging through the ashes found the charred remains of 4 bodies.
Oh, God.
They appeared to be Belle Gunness and her 3 children, but something prevented them from easily identifying the adult female. The grown woman's body was missing a head. At first, it was assumed that the headless corpse was Belle, but the size and height just didn't quite seem right.
She was like a stockier, bigger woman. You know, I'm thinking
Bea Arthur.
Well, no, I'm thinking.
Love her,
you know, I'm thinking. What's her name?
The potato farmer in Spain that
Matilda,
looks like
Matilda. That her the teacher's aunt, like Trunchbull.
Trunchbull. Yeah,
that's who I'm thinking.
Is it Trunchbull? Something like
Trunchbull,
that.
Trunchbull. Yeah. That's who I'm thinking when I think of Belle Gunness. So something like that, where it's like handsome, big woman. I mean, she like shot puts or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Love that. And I love Matilda, by the way. Thank you for bringing that up.
Well, you're welcome.
Atlas Obscura wrote, quote, Belle's dentist said that if Belle's head or dentures were found, he could positively identify her by examining her teeth. After searching the burnt out remains of the house, investigators found a piece of bridge work consisting of 2 human teeth, some porcelain teeth, and gold crown work in between. The dentist identified them as the bridge he designed for Belle. Based on this evidence, the coroner's inquest ruled that the headless female body found in the house belonged to Belle.
End I mean, quote. Remember, dentistry was not the same.
Not what it is today.
Then, yes.
A twist is that the victims most likely hadn't burned to death. All 4 bodies had strychnine in their stomachs.
Okay, this is the theme.
This is getting crazy.
This is the theme. This is a pattern now.
During the investigation into the fires, a man named Azel Helgelian. Well, he showed up claiming that his brother Andrew, which we just said, was a suitor of Belle and believed he had met foul play. Investigators searched the property and came across the butchered remains of a man, then another, and another, and another.
Okay, a pattern.
A pattern is happening here. So Andrew, if you remember, was the man whose brother said he, quote, lived too much in his imagination and was seduced by Belle's letters.
Right, because, you know, she was mentioning all the things about home and it felt nice.
Well, a forensic psychologist told American History that Belle offers a vision of a better material life. And the psychologist says that it's, quote, framed in the most attractive terms. That's how she disguises her actual intent. Then she implies that not only might they become lovers, but in the event she will yield her farm to him. Now she adds a feminine touch. She needs him, end quote. So a little bit of a manipulation, it seems like, is happening here.
I mean, okay.
In one letter to Andrew, Belle had written, quote, I do not think you will leave me after you have first come here. That I am sure of, end quote. How poetic. There's something weirdly poetic about that.
I agree.
So they ultimately found at least 11 people buried near the hog pen of the farm. As a good farm woman, Belle knew how to carve meat, and these victims had been carved up. According to the Seattle Times, the remains had been, quote, sorted by type, head, torso, or limb, end quote.
Wow.
And were, quote, enclosed in gunny sacks and buried, end quote. Apparently, the men who were reported to have visited Belle Gunness outnumbered the corpses found on her farm.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. But authorities never searched the property thoroughly, and there could have been many more victims that weren't even discovered, according to the Seattle Times. And they weren't all men either. Now you're listening, right, Darren?
Oh, I'm in, babe.
There was the body of a teenager, Jenny Olson, who Belle had fostered and raised from an early age.
Right, we mentioned that up at the top, yeah.
The Seattle Times wrote, quote, as news of Gunness's horror spread, tens of thousands of people flocked to Murder Farm, where authorities put the parts of Gunness's victims on display, end quote. So that's like a really disturbing, I don't know if I want to see all the things on display like that. Indy Star wrote, quote, railroads ran special excursions to the Gunness farm, bringing morbidly curious sightseers with the hope of catching a glimpse of police pulling out body parts. As many as 15,000 arrived in a single day. Refreshment stands were set up along the road serving, quote, Gunness stew.
That is like,
wow.
You could never, I mean, this is where like pop culture, social media of the early 1900s is hitting. It's like, people even back then, I think, were just obsessed with a crime story and sort of wanted to have their piece of it.
And back then, like, you know, I feel like just society was so different. Like this kind of stuff was more acceptable than it obviously would be today. According to the Chicago Tribune, quote, suspicion grew that Gunness escaped the fire and that another woman chosen as her double was killed and decapitated in a cover up.
Like,
quote.
I mean, like, what is this? Sting role reversal.
Belle's former handyman, a man named Ray Lamphere, was arrested and eventually convicted of starting the fire, even though Belle had made out her will and purchased 5 gallons of kerosene just the day before. But the handyman's charges of murder were dismissed. He would later reportedly make a deathbed confession to his prison minister, admitting to helping Belle bury some of her victims and that some were thrown in a lake, and said he helped her escape after the farmhouse fire by driving her to the train station. So imagine you're on your deathbed and like, by the way, here's a couple details you guys might have
missed. Definitely complicit in it,
well,
for
sure.
Well,
that's true, yes. According to his confession, Belle invited her guests to dinner before either poisoning them with strychnine or hitting them over the head with a meat cleaver. Casual.
How would I want to go?
How would you want to go?
Strychnine.
Or a meat cleaver.
I know, but I'm going to go strychnine.
Strychnine? Probably strychnine.
Meat cleaver seems a little too messy.
And maybe more painful even.
Yeah.
He also said that Belle had far more victims than official estimates, leading to the super gross speculation that she had fed remains to her pigs.
Well, anybody knows that pigs will eat anything. They are known to eat everything.
Literally everything.
Yes. So they will.
You never know.
What show was I watching?
I know.
Watching?
What, I'm just. I have this image in my head myself.
No. What was it? And the son killed the father and then fed it to the pigs and they're super super poor. What was I watching? Oh, it was Gentleman Jack, which is a lesbian show on HBO about the famous diarist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Always has to go back to lesbians.
Well, I mean, I knew something.
Allegedly, Lamphere said, by the way, I love when you bring it back to lesbian stuff. It's fine. We're
Forrest
very
Gump.
LGBT. Forrest Gump, right? Allegedly, Lamphere said he and Gunness traveled to Chicago a few days before the fire to find a body double for Belle. The woman who had been hired to be Belle's housekeeper was killed and decapitated and then staged in the fire.
I mean, this is
disturbing.
Intense, yeah.
Very disturbing.
In May of 2008, actually, so not that long ago, we're fast-forwarding a whole century. Mm-hmm. 100 years after the fire, a team of researchers from the University of Indianapolis returned to the site. They intended to exhume the remains of Belle Gunness to determine if she was, in fact, buried in her grave, according to the Chicago Tribune. Researchers were able to find sealed envelopes Belle had sent to a suitor. If they could match the DNA from her saliva to the bones found in her casket, they would know that she did in fact die in the fire, which is crazy to think about. We could do that 100 years later.
I know.
They could also use the bones of the 3 children found to determine if they were her biological offspring.
Oh,
crazy.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was actually another twist, okay?
God.
When they opened the headless woman's casket, they found children's bones as well. Researchers believe it was possible Belle could have killed more children than originally believed. Unfortunately, the saliva sample was too old to test. Mystery remains. Sightings of Belle carried on for many years, but one in particular stood out. A woman named Esther Carlson of Los Angeles was pinned as likely being Belle Gunness. Esther's first husband drowned 9 months after they married in 1911, and her second husband passed away in 1925 after 18 months of illness, potentially from poisoning, but ruled stomach cancer, according to the Michigan City News Dispatch. Now, listen, if you're poisoned...
yeah.
You probably could get stomach cancer. So
that's true.
We might just not have known enough back then. Right. A third man living with her died of suicide by swallowing a bottle of strychnine.
Oh, that stuff again.
But died by suicide. So, And there's more. Her husband's good friend died in 1931 with enough arsenic in him to kill more than 40 people.
That's crazy.
That is brutal. Esther was charged with murder in the last case and stood to gain $2,000 from the man's will. Again, this is a little bit earlier in the 30s. We're going through the depression now. So $2,000. Right. Is quite a lot of money. Before she could be tried, she passed away, but not before someone who knew Belle Gunness saw the photo in the newspaper and thought that Esther was really Belle.
Oh my God.
Before she passed, Esther denied the claim and said she was from Sweden, not Norway.
Okay.
Just another Scandinavian country.
Potato farmer.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
According to the Michigan City News Dispatch, when police searched Esther's home, they found a trunk containing photos of children. Esther claimed she never had children, and some witnesses claim the kids resembled Belle's children. And so a theory developed that Belle got away, moved to LA, and continued to kill. But then in 2014, a Norwegian researcher digging into the story released his findings.
Oh my God.
It appeared that Esther had used multiple names, but ultimately had been married in New York in the early 1900s, a full year before the fire that supposedly killed Belle. Furthermore, Esther's sister's husband identified Esther's body, making it more unlikely she was Belle. I mean, listen, there's billions of people in this world we all look like. The researcher concluded that the supposed picture of Belle's children was more likely to be Esther's sister's children.
Oh, okay.
While there is some potential evidence pointing to Esther not being Belle, the Michigan City News Dispatch reported that, quote, the Los Angeles woman long suspected of being LaPorte's murderous Belle Gunness may very well have been a serial killer herself.
Right.
That's crazy. End quote. Regardless, to this day, unfortunately, we don't know what's true or not. Did Belle Gunness die in the fire? If so, what happened to her head? If not, fuck did she go?
Yeah, right. What exactly happened then?
Yeah.
This is a fun...
No, did she star in Matilda in the early, late 90s? 1900s? Maybe.
I want to say this is fun. It's not fun necessarily, but it's an interesting
case
to think
about. But it's a fun case to talk about. And yeah. I think because we're so far removed from it, we can have a little bit more fun with it.
Yeah,
because
totally.
That's like... Could you find, like, that wouldn't happen today where you could find, like, a body double.
Right.
And,
of course not.
You know,
well,
I mean.
Who knows? I mean, it would certainly be much harder. Let's at least say that. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and to go and travel to do that, then decapitate it. Where did the head go? Where did she go? There's a lot to unpack here. Yeah. Let us know what you guys think.
Yeah, let us know. Hit us up on social. Jay Thrasher, Carpe Darren, Matt the Bartender.
Let's end on a positive note because we had no drinks the entire fucking show.
Yeah, what happened here, Matt?
I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing either. I think he walked by, Megan. Didn't he just walk by? Cool.
Okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, great.
Why don't you start us off?
Leah in our Facebook group says, I'm officially addicted to Crunchwrap Supremes. Thanks a lot, guys. # TalkAbout sponsor us. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. And in fact, if you're ever around and we can use Danielle's gift card here, let us
know.
But
try the cheesy gordita.
Yeah.
Just try that.
I did just have Taco Bell again for the first time recently in a long time.
Yeah?
Yeah, over the weekend.
What'd you have?
I always get the same thing.
Fiesta potatoes?
No, I used to get those, but I really just love the Doritos Locos tacos with grilled chicken. That's my taco.
Okay.
Yep. Lauren in our Facebook group replied to Leah saying, quote, I'm pregnant and thanks to martinis and murder, Taco Bell is my craving.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I'm not
supporting it as a maternity food in
that's
any sort
true.
Of way, but God damn, that kid's going to be strong if you're eating Taco Bell.
Absolutely. And hopefully you're not having, like, you know, mild or hot acid reflux as a result of eating these things. But you
thoughts
know
and prayers, thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thank you guys so much, though, for all of that. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
It's also Matt's birthday tomorrow.
We should mention. So Matt's birthday is tomorrow. He's not here to celebrate
his
own birthday.
So do we
have
birthday. To, like, if a tree falls in a forest and...
But I do want to mention... Yeah, exactly.
No one's there to see it.
But Allie is here and brought... like baked goods, as in case you guys haven't picked up on it, I don't know if we've explicitly said, Allie knows all of our birthdays by heart,
it's
and she,
like,
brings us food every single time.
It's actually absurd.
We were meant to sort of call Matt out on his birthday and celebrate it, but I think we should just have the lemon bar now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So Allie's going to give us lemon bars, and we will see you guys on another episode.
Bye.
Bye. Those look good.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.